So it's recording. So, ooh, that's a little too loud. Okay, so first I'm gonna talk a little bit about my project so that you know what's gonna happen. So you know the topic of my research is urban green spaces, and I'm especially interested in the roles of citizens and the city in the project to increase green spaces in Buenos Aires. And so my objective is to gather stories about people who do this work. And with these interviews, I'm gonna put them on this website for the scholarship that I received. So it's called Oral History in the Liberal Arts. And I'm also going to use the interviews for my studies at Antioch College. Okay. And so, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
My name is Michelle Fuji. We are in the car driving back from, what was the place we were just at?
Parque Natural Lago Lugano.
Yes. Today is September 1st, and I'm here with Lisandro. Can you just say your name and today's date?
Yes, my name is Lisandro Grané, and I am from Argentina, the city of Buenos Aires, and I'm 43 years old. I have two kids, Vito, 6 years old, and Selva, 4 years old.
And today's date?
And today's date is the September the 1st.
Perfecto. Okay, so first, yeah, maybe a little bit more about yourself. Maybe about your, what you do for Un Arbor para mi Vereda.
Well, I work as a, how do you say, executive director in the nonprofit organization Un Árbol para mi Vereda, which means a tree for my sidewalk. I started with this project about 5.5 years ago, right after the moment that my first son was born. I felt the need of more trees for the city to, in order to give my son a healthier environment for him to grow up. And it was like something that I felt as a need, and you know, it was not me playing Jesus or anything. It just I just needed that connection with the nature, and I noticed that we have very few green spaces in Buenos Aires, although it's a big city.
Okay, so you were telling me a little bit about how you started working with Un Arbor and about your son.
Yes. Well, I started when my son was born, and well, actually, I started with los residuos, separación de residuos, and I started producing my own compost, and then I did my own food garden in my house. And finally, I turned into trees to produce more trees and plant more trees in my neighborhood.
Why trees and not other plants?
Well, a good question. I think that the trees are very helpful in urban spaces because they provide shadow. They help to equilibrar la temperatura, la humedad del aire y del suelo. Si hay exceso de agua o sequía, they provide a lot of environmental services, a lot, more than any other plant. And some of them, they provide us with fruit that we can eat. So, and then I even started to understand that it's not only good to plant trees, but it's better to plant the native trees, the local trees, the trees that are the species that were here before the white man came. So yes, trees for the future. That was kind of the motivation. I want to give my son the best world possible. And a way to make it this world better is planting trees. The thing is that the trees are expensive, so I started to produce them myself. And at the beginning, you know, I had a lot of failure. But then I took a course, studies on tree producing at the Universidad de Buenos Aires. And, well, I learned how to make trees, to produce them. And once we had enough, we started planting in our neighborhood, but always on request. There has to be always a person, a human being, a neighbor, who takes the tree as a son and cares for it and protects it, water it. You know, the first year for the tree is key for its surveillance, and it needs a human being to take care of him. So that's why the project is called Un Árbol para Mi Vereda, for my sidewalk. It's part of this connection between the person, the street, and the tree. It's a new sense of a community. It's the humans helping nature, and nature helping humans. That cycle. The motivation is to rebuild that cycle, that sacred connection that we have lost, but not too many years ago. No, it was not. It is not so far away. That connection is almost there. We can easily reconnect with that. And planting trees it works as a tool for that reconnection. That is kind of the motivation. Sorry, what was the question?
So you took a course and yes. You learned how to plant trees better, and then
and to produce them.
Yes, and to produce them better, and then you started planting trees on sidewalks. Uh-huh. So is that when Un Árbol started?
Yes, actually, we started with a very romantic hippie approach. I always say that the project started when we had our Facebook fan page, but it was very informal. That was year 2012, where we started with our fan page. Then we had a couple of years where we were like knowing our job better. Mm-hmm. And we started to receive the requests. Mm-hmm. From companies or even governments to work with them or for them, as you know, in an environmental event or they asked us for a workshop or a talk at certain, you know, the day of the water day or the environmental day and something like that. So it, we started to have this sort of enterprise approach to things. But we were not in the mood of making money or, you know, we were just wanting to plant more trees. But, you know, one thing led to the other, and suddenly we were like receiving a lot of, you know, a budget request for a tree planting event. Or so we needed to develop, evolve into this more organized way of producing, planting, and budgeting, and, you know, communicating our job, and it was fun. No, it is even fun today that we are like a grown ups. Mm-hmm. But yes, and we always say that it is sustainable only if it is fun. No, that is the translation. And in Spanish we say, si es divertido, es sustentable. If it's fun, it's sustainable. So we try to keep it fun and, you know, romantic, but maybe it's not so hippie nowadays. It has the hip, but not the hippie part, you know?
Yeah.
We try to surf with the circumstances, but we are not a company with, you know, protocols. We are getting more professional in a lot of ways. Now we work for governments on a regular basis. We have big annual projects with governments, with big companies like banks, and, you know, we're entering that zone, but still having fun.
Yeah.
That's the only way to change the world.
What's a big project you're working with the government on now?
Well, the biggest one is the greenhouse at the Center of Information and Formation in Environmental Affairs, the CIFA. There we have our production unit. We produce trees, native trees, for public spaces that the city will plant with their own events and volunteers and, you know, the whole circus. We are the producers of the trees. And we also give workshops, and we have like scholarships for people that live in the slums that come to this greenhouse to have the, you know, to learn the, how do you say, the oficio, no, the job, learn the job of tree growing and tree planting with this sustainable approach that we have. We always say that we are sons of the crisis, because we learned to produce trees and create green spaces without any money, with only our enthusiasm. But now that we have some money, well, you better fasten your seatbelts. Now, we try to teach this art of tree growing without expending a lot of money in the process. Well, you can do it for almost $0. So, I mean, you can go yourself and pick the seeds. You can recycle plastic bottles and make them into containers for the sowing, and then you can produce your own compost for the soil. You know, it's all free. In nature, it's free. It's there. The thing is, when you go into a bigger scale, in this project with the government, we have to produce 8,000 trees every year, at least this first year. And well, if you have that goal, you better have some budget. But we try to keep it, you know, as low cost as possible.
Where are these trees going to be planted?
Well, the park we just visit, the Parque Natural Lago Lugano, is one of the places that the city is backing up and trying to, you know, make it greener, because it was a dump site. So there is one of the places. The other places are in Buenos Aires we have these comunas, which are like a group of neighbors, of neighborhoods, grouped and controlled, let's say, by not the central government of the city, but the people. Let's put that in, how do you say, the
air quotes.
Okay, so these comunas will receive native trees to plant in their parks and, you know, public spaces. So it's going to be kind of decentralized. But, you know, the city needs to plant, like, you know, 20,000 trees a year, and we are producing only 8,000. There are also other greenhouses. The city has a couple of greenhouses that produce more plants, but they are exotic plants, not native. And we still do not have, the government does not have yet the motivation to plant only native species. They plant whatever they can. And we are kind of the promoters, and the CIFA, the Agencia de Protección Ambiental, APRA, are the, like, the young promoters of this new way of thinking, the urban landscape with native species, which attracts the birds, the butterflies, all the animals that were here evolving with those species from the old ages of America.
Why does the city have to plant 20,000 trees every year?
Well, that, okay, that was my, oh, this is my, why? Well, actually, the city of Buenos Aires has 500,000 trees planted, already alive. 500,000 that are in parks, in the street, and, you know, the trees that you see. And in the city of Buenos Aires, we have a population, only in the city, of 4 million people living here. So that gives you a rate. Let me help me with the math here. But if you have half a million trees, mm-hmm. and let's say 5 million people living here, you have like one tree for 10 people, no? Mm-hmm. One tree. Well, the United Nations health area, that's the OMS, the Organización Mundial de la Salud,
mm-hmm.
World
Health Organization.
Those guys, mm-hmm. they say that a big city like Buenos Aires needs to have 10 to 15 square meters of green spaces per inhabitant, mm-hmm. per person living there. Buenos Aires has only 5.6 square meters of green spaces by person. Okay, so we are way low. We are we have the half of the bottom, mm-hmm. of what is recommended.
Yeah.
Other cities, like in Brazil, you have Curitiba. They have more than 30 square meters of green spaces per person. They have the double. So those are good places for humans to live. So Buenos Aires has a lack of green spaces, and the government also said that they will change that situation. And they talk about 70,000 trees in the next 5 years. I wish they could accomplish that. I'm really working for that goal, but I don't think they could make it, because trees take long to grow, and there are not enough trees around Buenos Aires to provide 70,000 trees in 5 years. It's not going to happen. But let's say that they could plant, like, you know, 20,000 trees in the next 3 years. Well, we can help that to happen, you know, but I mean, it's again the politics and what the government says and what the people need to have, you know, that's the political conversation. We choose to be a hands-on organization. We cannot wait for the government to do what's needed to be done. We choose to do it ourselves. So at the beginning of this non-profit organization, we were kind of against the law, doing, actually in those early years, it was prohibited, it was not legal for the citizens to plant their own trees on their own sidewalk. It was against the law. And we helped that to happen. So in year 2013, we had a meeting with the board of the tree planting of the government. It's called the Dirección de Arbolado Urbano. And when that meeting started, the second dialogue line I heard was, "Do you know that what you're doing is against the law?" And I said, "Hey, I know the law. And there's an article, the article number 24 says that the organizations that help to provide a healthier environment and help nature, blah, 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 they can plant only if they do that in coordination with the authorities of tree planting. So I guess you are the authority. Let's work together. We are doing this for free." So that was our first encounter with the law. In the beginning, we were like, you know, how do you say, like, not against the law, but, you know, in the border, you know. And now we are hired by the government. Now we are official. Is that an accomplishment, or is that, you know, I don't know. But that, I mean, that is what is happening now, 5 years later. Now we are working for the city.
Going back to the city planting trees, do you think there is space to plant that many trees in Buenos Aires?
Good question. That's the whole problem. The city is growing so fast that the few empty spaces that could be turned into green spaces are turned into shopping centers or buildings or, you know, whatever. But they are not turning into green spaces. Only in the south part of the city where we were today, there are still some wastelands that, you know, nobody wants to live there. Nobody's going to build a shopping center there because it's close to the slums, it's close to the industries, the river, not the River Plate, the Riachuelo River, which is a smaller river. It's polluted, so the air smells bad. It's not a good place to live. But the city is taking that into a plan of greening that area, to make it more livable. So in a couple of years, the shopping centers and the buildings will come. No, but yeah, sorry. And at this present moment, they are investing a lot of money into getting that area more livable. So that's where we are working. Actually, the few places that you can plant trees are in the south part of the city.
You mentioned that you guys teach people in the nearby neighborhoods how to plant trees. Why do you think it's important for those people in those neighborhoods to learn that skill?
Good. Well, since these neighborhoods are the ones who have the fewer green spaces per habitant, actually the city has 5.6, but those neighborhoods, the slums, they have 1.5 square meters of green spaces per inhabitant. So those neighborhoods are the most vulnerable in terms of green spaces. They have none places to go, you know, to play football or drink some mate under a tree. There are none. So those are the places that need more trees. But at the same time, it's a way to teach a job that could help the people that live in those neighborhoods to get into the, you know, into society again. Most of them are unemployed or never had a job. So it's good to start with something that they can do, you know, with your own hands, connect with the earth, with the cycles, collect the seeds, water, and start building a way of living, you know. Maybe they can learn with us how to produce trees and then get a job in a, you know, regular commercial greenhouse. Like there are many in the city. I don't know, it's a way to give these people a tool to jump back into society again. That's the social aspect of this. And the other one is the environmental. I mean, those are the places that need more trees and more care for the few spaces, the green spaces that are there. So it's both a social and environmental project. And the third part of the project is the economical. This is why we call this a triple impact project. Is that known like that in the States?
Maybe.
Triple impact. So it is social, environmental, and economical, because these people who learn this job can build like an entrepreneur, like a, how do you say, startup, mm-hmm. a business,
yeah.
with this tool that we teach them. They can, you know, three or four or five people get together and build up a commercial project. They can live out of producing and selling trees, or planting, or landscaping, designing, or I mean. There are lots of possibilities to develop a job out of caring for the planet. This is the future for me. For me, I mean, I'm 43. I'm done. You know. But the future, which is the planet that we are leaving for our sons? Well, this planet is environmentally ruined. So the future, if there's a future, is to establish life on it. And the way to do it is to plant trees, the native especially, so they can call back the birds, and the birds will bring the seeds and other trees. And you know, if we work towards that goal, well, there's a future in that. And there's also a business opportunity. The old way of thinking, you know, the extractivism, like take advantage of the resources until they are washed out, you know, the wild capitalism, that is the old way. And that is running into its own annihilation. My spiritual business with this business is give the other people and my family the possibility to replant life. Reestablish the equilibrium in the ecosystems, reestablish the equilibrium between oneself and the planet. I mean, nature has all figured out, but we, the humans, when we lost that connection, that was the beginning of our end. And I see a way of reestablishing this connection with the trees. I mean, producing trees is a job, and it's the job that the planet needs. So there's a future there. I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
And thanks God, now the government is paying attention to us, you know?
Okay.
I mean, we could keep going without the government. That even gives you power, you know, to be against the law and, you know, doing illegal things. That's thrilling, you know. But how long can you walk without, you know, having the possibility to feed your family? And it's good that now they are paying us to do this. I mean, and we are having fun in the way. So it's a win-win situation.
What do you think of the government's role in these kinds of environmental problems?
Good question. I think that the government, at least the Argentinian one, the city of Buenos Aires government, let's be very specific, they just want to take a picture with the candidate, the person in the government, in the picture of something good. Something green, something well done. Oh, they planted a tree. I'm going to vote them on the next election. I think that is their motivation. Sorry, guys. Maybe there are a few of you that are good people, but the general mood from governments into environment is, let's do this because the people cares, not because we care. That is in the agenda because the people think that is important. So I'm gonna do that to, you know, win their love and affection. So I think it is very it's a calculated, not very honest, usually not very well managed. I mean, You see the plantation where we're today. It was a mess. It was, I mean, too little time, a lot of kids trying to plant a few trees, and it was not they were not like building a connection with nature. They were there for the picture, just the picture of themselves doing that. You know, it was sad. But at the end of the day, I don't care. We planted some trees, we had some fun, and okay, you know. at the end of the day, we planted trees. It's a nice conversation. Which is the role of the government in all this mess? They just try to look good in the picture. I mean, that's what I think. But I'm glad they do, because they hired me. They think I look good. I make them look better. I think that's the way they think. You know, I'm very charming and, you know. I'm not expensive.
Okay. So,
do you have some water there? I need to.
Yeah, I think I have a little bit. How close are we?
Like 10 minutes.
Okay. We should try to wrap up then.
No, but we have time, eh?
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Plenty. We can stop and talk.
So, I guess, so there's this problem where the government is putting some money into this kind of thing, but you don't think they really care. Do you think, I don't know, is that okay? Like, is that enough? Do you think in order for more change to happen, the government needs to care more, or... What do you think about that problem?
Well, it's better to have that calculated effort. I mean, that what they are doing now is better than nothing. What will happen in the future? Well, I think these environmental problems will be bigger and bigger, and as long as they keep doing nonsense events to take a picture of themselves pretending to being doing something, the problem will persist. So it's gonna hit them back, you know. So not only the government, they are not just the bad guys, they are a part of the people. I mean, I can say it in the first person. I mean, we, the humans in this planet, if we don't take this problem very seriously and change our mindset, soul set, into a cooperative way to work with nature and not to take advantage of nature. Not only the governments, but the people, you know, with every little act in our little day of our little lives. If we don't take that seriously, well, the problem is going to grow bigger and bigger to a point that we will disappear. The human race, the problem is the human race. The planet can cure itself. It has been curing itself for a million years. Millions of years, from the glacier eras to the you know, the ark, the flood, mm-hmm. the Noah ark. Mm-hmm. From ice to flood to fire. I mean, the world can't survive. Every crisis, every climate change will make it evolve into a new form of life. I mean, the problem is not the planet, but the human race. We are going to disappear, and we are not coming back, because we had our chance, and we spoiled it. I mean, life is a miracle, very, very fragile and very strong at the same time. And if we lose that notion about the miracle, the how do you say, the casualty, no, the casualidad, it's una casualidad, We have very few possibilities to be here now. And if we lose that notion and take everything for granted, well, it's not that easy. It's, I mean, for me, since the moment I saw my son for the first time, I understood how fragile and how strong life is. And that transformed me. And, well, the government and, you know, not only the government, but the way society is now thinking about the environment problems is kind of a, you know, like a fashion, like a something that, oh, I eat healthy, I go to the gym, you know. It is still in a superficial level, and I mean, it's the change should be deeper in order to be a real change. We cannot take this as we take fashion. We cannot take that luxury of leave it as a, you know, the new wave. It's a new, different mindset and soul set. I don't know. But I think, again, if the government keeps that mood, well, they will have to someday take it more seriously. Otherwise, they are going to disappear. And we, and every human thing. No?
Yeah.
It's the end. I don't want to sound apocalyptical, but it's very fragile. Life is very fragile, and we are not taking care of it properly. How can our government take care of life if they cannot water a tree? You saw what happened today. Want me to tell you? There was a project where our city officers were asked to plant a tree as a way to commit with these environmental issues. But they were given a tree, one of the trees that we produce. Specifically, the trees that were given were not produced by us, but that's a different story. It could be one of us, of ours. The thing is that the trees stayed at the citizens' officers' offices, waiting for a moment to be planted somewhere. I don't know. Nobody had a clue what to do with those trees. No, so the commitment was a farce. And somebody noticed those trees were dying there at those dark offices at the town hall. So they bring those trees back to our greenhouse. So you keep it, you take care of them until we produce an event for the city officers to plant them. So they came back. Most of them were stressed because of the lack of water. So they don't even water the trees. They should water because they were committed to. How can we expect that they take care for us, for our problems, the human problems? They cannot take care of one single tree. Come on. I'm just being, you know, practical. So that's the government we have, which is the projection of what we are as a society. They are not just the bad guys. They did not come from Mars. I mean, that's us.
So through your work with Un Arbor, do you think your perspective has changed since when you started compared to now?
Yes, absolutely. I do not remember what was my perspective 5 years ago, to be honest. Let's park here. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't so concerned for the environment 5.5 years ago. I just had a kid, a son, that was, oh, what am I going to do with this? At the beginning, I didn't care much for the garbage separation, you know, the plastics in one box and compost. And I didn't care at all, that, to be honest. And when I started, you know, going deeper into these issues, then I developed this consciousness about or perspective about what should be done. I mean, to be honest, it came with along with the job. I wasn't like thinking and then this is what I want to know. It was more like a more an impulse, and then came all the ideas with the work. And so the perspective, yes, definitely. Now I am a fighter, ambientalist fighter, but I'm not as combative. I'm not in the rage zone, but I am into the bridging gaps. That's what I do. I enjoy sitting at the table with the government or with the companies, big companies that want to, you know, do something for the environment, and I'm glad to be the bridge. On our organization, we have all the different possibilities of an ambientalist fighter. The rage, the ones that want to, you know, put bombs, but change the world radically. And some of them are more into the business, or like we have to make this organization sustainable, so we need to do this job with this big company that will give us money to do that. And you know, I'm glad that we have those minds too. I'm kind of in the middle, maybe more business oriented, but because I'm 43, I know that enthusiasm could at some point end, but if we have the fuel of, you know, money, I think that we could make a living out of what we love, and the organization could last longer than our enthusiasm. And we also have bad days, you know, days that we lose our faith in humans and in the possibility of a change. So if it's only depending on our enthusiasm, well, we should shut down business like 3 or 4 times a year. But if we have this, you know, projects, annual projects with money involved, that, I mean, this, when you have big projects with money involved, you can last longer. Those are kind of the bridges to help us to continue with the task. And that's an interesting way to look at it, because if we are the bridge for a big company towards the environment, at the same time, the possibility to work with the system, inside of the system, is the bridge to sustain us along the way. I mean, and that is something different. It is not we, the ambientalists, environmentalists, against the bad guys in the big companies or the bad guys in the government. No. The challenge is to work together with our differences, but to, I mean, I'm not being romantic, idealistic fool. It's like, I hate those guys, but I need to work with them because we have the same planet and we have to take care of the same problems. They have kids, I have kids. I mean, it's not about us anymore. It's about the future and the planet that we are leaving behind. I have some ideas that could work. You have some needs that maybe not very, be very honest or very, but you need to add some credits on environmental issues. Okay, let's work together. Yeah. You will be the bad guy all the time. I will be the good guy in my own personal movie, but let's work together. Let's be on the same page. Although we think differently about a lot of things, but when it comes to do something for the planet or for the future generations, we have to be on the same side. It's very difficult to talk about the same side because they are paying, we are doing the job. I mean, that's something that always makes, you know, remember this guy, Karl Marx? It's in the way, you know, capitalism, you know. But we cannot change the world without the bad guys. We're not trying to change them into the light side of the, you know, of the force. No, we're not Jedis. But we understand that we have to work together. I have an example. You know this company, Monsanto? You know what they do? Okay, they called us to have a meeting because they wanted to plant 4,000 trees. And we went to them and, well, imagine, get the picture of, yeah, you know, the young guys, the rage ambientalist. They said, no, no, give them the finger. Like, they were like, no. And I said, okay, no, of course not. We're not working with them. But I want to go to the meeting. I want to see their faces. They are human beings. I want to listen to them. And I want them to listen to me. I'm not going to say nothing inappropriate, but I'm going to... If they want to talk to me, I can answer back. And I went to the meeting, and there was a tricky, you know, project because on one side they wanted to plant the trees to compensate the carbon footprint, mm-hmm, of their trucks. Mm. We were not talking about poisoning the land, that was not in the conversation, but the trucks, carbon, okay. So you want, oh, okay, so you want to plant trees because of the trucks, okay, great, that's lovely, and you know, I love that. Would you like to take pictures of yourselves planting the trees? Oh, yes, absolutely, we want to document the project. Oh, okay, great, and maybe you will have a town hall majors, no, not only in Buenos Aires, but on the small cities around Buenos Aires where you are planting. Yes, of course, all the city officers involved. Oh, great. And you would like us to be in the picture along together with you? Yes, of course, and the logo. Okay, let's talk about the logo. We cannot put our logo right next to Monsanto's. You understand why, no? No, why? Well, the thing is that we can work together, but we are not letting them to fool us, you know, to buy our logo, who has a good image, to clean to do a greenwash on Monsanto's logo. You know, that's, I mean, that's the difficult side of working together with big companies. I mean, they want your logo. That's all they want, because their logo is losing, you know, the love of the people. Our logo is growing into, our logo. What are we talking about? The people likes us, yeah, because we do things from our heart. I mean, it's not just like that, but you know, we are the good guys. So it's gonna cost you a lot of money, and then we have to disappear, Monsanto. Okay, you want my logo? Okay, so I have to shut down the business. That was one possibility. We just say no, thank you, maybe next time, see you later, alligator. And that was it. But you know, reflecting on the future, not thinking of the future, for me, the only way to make a deep change into the environment is to work with these bad guys together, side by side, knowing these, you know, situations, and trying to do this restoration, environmental restoration jobs, but do them from within, you know, because otherwise it's just a fashion, just a logo, just a picture. If you do it from your heart, from your inner connection with yourself, then you're working with the universe, with the planet, and that is something that is not possible to capture in a picture. That is there. That is the change, and I would love to share this deep connection with the Monsanto people, but it is a lot of work, and they are not even listening. They just want the logo. So that is the difficult part, to work in that way, in that path. But that is what we have to do. If we want to accomplish our goals.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was really good.